eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 37 of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more, though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land, and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the day of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish, like smoke they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice, he will not forsake his saints, they are preserved forever. But the children of the wicked shall be cut off, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Hope you appreciate this psalm as much as I do. And obviously it's a lengthier psalm, but Psalm 37 reads, though it is of David, it reads more like his son Solomon in its Proverbs sounding nature. Really, the whole of the psalm is simply summed up in that very first verse, to not fret because of evildoers or be envious because of wrongdoers. And really, that is the tone, the very almost preacher homiletic tone that this psalm has, trying to instruct the one who is listening, hey, I know things seem this way, but understand that the Lord sees and the Lord is righteous, and this will ultimately be solved and be resolved to where those who are righteous will prosper and the wicked will ultimately fade. It's interesting because you sometimes, and I guess in understanding this, there sometimes will be a tendency to look at Psalm 37 and try to compare it to other areas of Scripture. Psalm 37, like it portrays some sort of glowing understanding that the righteous will always have great things. They say, well, look at the teachings of Jesus, look at the book of Job. And the book of Job, even if you read the book, the beginning and the end will parallel exactly what Psalm 37 says, and in the fact that righteousness ultimately is rewarded with peace and with prosperity. And even Jesus, with the words that he says, when we read those in the New Testament in various places, like in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says if you strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things, and in that context, all those things are food, drink, and clothes, the things that we need, all those things will be added to you. And Jesus says, of course, when his disciples are talking about the rich young ruler, and he goes on to say, but many of those who have left and left family and land and many of the things of this world to follow and pursue me will receive many of those blessings as well. And so it's not just this understanding that Psalm 37 just simply says that things are going to be great for the righteous all the time. Even Psalm 37 recognizes that the wicked are actively seeking to harm the righteous. That though the righteous will be, as it says, brought before court and ultimately being prosecuted, that they will be vindicated. That though they fall, as it says in verse 24, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. The idea that though he does fall, and he will, the Lord will be the one holding him. There's one verse in this that I remember learning as a young man. This was part of my, I guess, for lack of a better term, I think we just called it our accountability group, but really it was an opportunity for discipleship with my youth minister growing up. And he had us memorize this verse, and I remember even at the time going, what, this doesn't seem to speak to me. But verse 23, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. And as soon as I read the psalm and was studying it, that was immediately drawn to mind, that was a lesson for me at 14 and 15 and 16 that was ingrained, that there's something going on here that the psalmist is getting at. And there's different ways we can understand this, as certainly God, the one upholding the righteous cause, but there's something, as Golden Gate would call it, just a moral order. I like what he says in his commentary. He says this: the present prosperity of the wicked makes it look as if there is no more moral order in the world. The homily assures people that there is such an order. There is an inbuilt moral link between acts and consequences. The sword of the faithless finds its way into his own heart. As I've come to understand that verse, certainly there is the sense in that David is saying that though I've never seen a righteous man who has to go around begging bread, and ultimately it says his children will be a blessing, there is a sense in which righteousness brings its own moral and current reward. Because righteousness is seen, it is something that others respond to, it is something that draws us in. And so even if you feel like no one sees what you're doing, if no one sees the righteousness, and as we know, our righteous acts are not to be seen, the motivation is not that. Those things are ultimately seen by God, and he draws around us those who we need to provide for us. And so again, this is just a simple understanding, not to worry, not to fret, because wickedness seems to be winning the day, whatever day that may be. And certainly we feel as if that's what's going on now. But it's a reminder for us that we need to take this psalm as Augustine said, as a way of a potion, in the sense that this is an antidote, a reminder not to fret and be concerned. I'll close with a quote from Luther on the psalm when he says this: "Oh, such shameful disloyalty, mistrust, and damnable unbelief. We refuse to believe these rich, powerful, and comforting promises of God. When we hear a few threatening words from the wicked, we begin to tremble at the slightest threat. May God help us obtain the true faith, which we see the Scriptures demanding everywhere." Thank you for joining me again. I pray you have a blessed week, and may you, like the righteous man, be planted by streams of righteousness and peace. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful